Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it is 31 degrees under partly cloudy skies. Today's Thursday, November 17th, 2011. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. Former Sitka Mayor Scott McAdams, who was the Democratic nominee for U.S. Senate last year, has formed a nonpartisan interest group with the expressed purpose of providing financial support to candidates who commit to putting Alaska's communities and people ahead of out-of-state interests. And the group, named It's About Alaska, now on file with the Alaska Public Offices Commission, is already touching a chord in other parts of the state. Dave Donaldson reports.
Scott McAdams says he believes that everything that's done politically in Alaska must be looked at in light of what's best for the state itself. He says natural resource issues come to mind first.
There's going to be a lot of outside political money invested in Alaska, trying to buy our elections in 2012, 2014, and beyond. It's About Alaska will work to elect people who know that Alaska's economy needs new investment in our sewers, in our streets, in our schools, and not a giveaway to outside non-resident millionaires.
McAdams' nonpartisan approach to government is not new in the state. It largely reflects the point of view of former Governor Wally Hickel. Malcolm Roberts of Anchorage, who worked with Hickel, says he was part of a small group that met informally last year to draft and release a statement of principles called the Alaska Agenda, calling for a new emphasis on the state's interests in political activity.
The key is that we stand for Alaska first. We stand on our own feet. We are not intimidated by outside forces, whether they're government or corporate or nonprofit, but we stand together for Alaska.
Robert says he's looking at issues on which most Alaskans already agree: education, the economy, the environment. And like McAdams, he sees protecting those things as a major priority. Both are working in a nonpartisan fashion, but Roberts is not critical of parties. However, he says he has not heard a drumbeat from either major party on issues he thinks Alaskans want to work on. I'm Dave Donaldson in Juneau.
National fishermen will honor two Alaskans at the Pacific Marine Expo in Seattle this weekend. Bill Weber Jr. of Cordova and Dan Falvey of Sitka will join San Francisco's Larry Collins as the magazine's 2011 Highliners of the Year. The honor is not necessarily about the amount of fish anyone lands. Instead, the magazine's editors describe the trio as bona fide innovators and men of action, each in his own way. Falvey is the fourth Sitka fisherman to be named to this elite roster, and he seemed a little surprised by the recognition. I enlisted the aid of a 2007 Highliner, Eric Jordan, to explain what it means to have your picture on the cover of National Fisherman.
I'm a longline fisherman and a troller, and I think there's a lot of people out there who catch more fish than I do, so I'm not quite sure why I was chosen.
That's Dan Falvey. Just about everybody gets it but him. Here's Eric Jordan.
It's not about how many fish you catch or whether you were the top dog competitively. It's about what you did to contribute to the future of the fisheries.
I got into fishing because I was up in Alaska on a summer adventure and ran out of money in Sitka, and hopping on a fishing boat seemed like the best thing to do. And then after a while on the boat, I got good enough at my duties on deck that I could actually look around and see what an amazing place Alaska is and what a unique perspective you have as a fisherman. Being out there day in and day out, you're no longer an outsider looking in. You become kind of part of the natural processes.
Falvey's Alaska adventure ran short of cash in the 1980s. Not too long after, he went back to school to earn a master's degree from Western Washington University in resource management and policy. Issues that may frustrate anyone else are right in Falvey's sweet spot.
I was always really impressed with how clear Dan's thinking was on complex fisheries management, sharing, and conservation issues. He had a gift for analyzing and articulating the most complex issues in a way that helped clarify it for all those involved working with him.
Falvey began salmon trolling on the Seaboy, which he bought from Sitka's first national fisherman highliner, John Marr. Now he runs the 47-foot freezer boat Myriad.
I think after trolling for a lot of years, he just realized that by moving into the freezer, I was able to create a better product and actually able to stay out and follow the fish up and down the coast instead of having to come into town all the time. And so it gives you a certain freedom to just kind of stay out there and watch the run build and the run ebb and move where you need to go while you're creating one of the highest quality products that are able to be created.
Falvey is too young to have participated in the upheavals that shaped the modern salmon industry, but he'd have his opportunity in groundfish. Falvey and 2009 highliner Linda Benkin have been the brain trust behind the Alaska Longline Fishermen's Association, ALFA, for most of its existence. Benkin would serve three terms on the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council during some of its stormiest years. Falvey served on the council's advisory panel. When the spray had settled, Eric Jordan says the book had been rewritten on halibut and black cod fishing in Southeast, and not just the book on individual fishing quotas, or IFQs.
The collaboration of him and Linda Benkin has been one of the great teams for our industry. When he was on the advisory panel and Linda was on the council, they worked together to really change the fisheries in Southeast. Everybody knows about the IFQ deal, but they also, one of the biggest things I think in the, that he worked on with Linda is taking the groundfish trawl fisheries out of Southeast Alaska into federal waters. That has changed the whole ecosystem here in Southeast Alaska for the better.
Recently, ALFA has branched out into research. Falvey is helping administer several concurrent grants studying issues ranging from sperm whale depredation to an onboard electronic observer program that could save the small boat fleet and the taxpayer money. Falvey hints that this work is a relief from the bluster of fisheries policy.
What I have most enjoyed is working with the innovation and natural problem-solving abilities that the fishing fleet has to apply those skills to address some of the issues we face. And I also like working with the scientists and the managers of our industry to try and integrate the perspective that the fishermen gain by being out there day in and day out with the perspective the fishery managers have. And I think when you bring those two perspectives together and you each can learn from each other, it helps result in a long-term sustainable future.
Sometimes the mantle just falls on you, and you don't choose it so much as you choose not to avoid it. It comes to you, and it's almost like a responsibility. And somebody with the gifts that Dan has, I think it wasn't so much a choice as it was a calling.
Dan Falvey has a wife, Kathy, and two kids, Emma, age 12, and Jake, 9. He says they're becoming more and more of a fishing family all the time.
Last weekend's storms have complicated efforts to eradicate an invasive species of tunicate that's living in Whiting Harbor near Sitka. An aquatic farm structure in the harbor was scheduled for removal the weekend of the storm, but the more than 60-mile-an-hour winds that moved through Sitka on November 12th prevented crews from working that day, and the storm damaged the floating farm. Tammy Davis is invasive species coordinator for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
High seas and high winds definitely broke apart the farm. Some sections really just getting destroyed as it crashed up on the shoreline, the causeway shoreline.
Whiting Harbor and much of the infrastructure inside it have been infested with a species of tunicate called Divex, or Didenum vexillum. It coats anything in its path, destroying habitat and preventing mussels from feeding. The Whiting Harbor outbreak is the first time Divex has been discovered in Alaska, but other states, including Washington and Oregon, are fighting its spread. The storm's damage to the farm definitely has caused problems. But Davis says because the winds were out of the west, the structure stayed in the harbor system.
That is the silver lining indeed. The direction of the wind was the lucky piece in this story. Instead of things moving out of the harbor, they were moving into the causeway.
Things didn't go quite as well at the end of October, Davis says, when a piece of farm escaped the harbor and crashed on some nearby rocks. Most of it has been recovered, but that some small floating pieces might have washed up elsewhere. Anyone who suspects they've seen the invasive tunicate is asked to report it at the state's hotline, 877-INVASIVE, I-N-V, ASIV. Hiring a construction company to raise the Blue Lake Dam has been delayed 6 months because of some regulatory hurdles. Sitka Utility Director Christopher Bruton told the Assembly on Tuesday that the city had hoped to put out a request for proposals this month, inviting contractors to bid on the $40 to $60 million construction contract, but that won't happen until May, with the contract awarded in October 2012.
I don't see this as a step backwards. We pursued this on a very aggressive schedule from the beginning with the intent of trying to get this done as quickly as possible to avoid extra year of diesel.
Bruton says there are three reasons for the delay. The first is that the federal government is still processing necessary changes to the license Sitka uses to operate Blue Lake. The second has to do with changes in water regulations. When the city works on Blue Lake, it will need an alternative source of drinking water. In the past, it's been able to use Indian River, but new regulations say that in order to do that this time, Sitka would have to issue a boil water notice. Doing that would mean major problems for restaurants and fish processors in addition to private citizens. Bruton called the boil water notice requirement a non-starter and said they need to find another solution. The third reason has to do with the city itself. Bruton says he's not satisfied the bidding package is as thorough as it can be.
This is going to be a very, very large contract. It has national attention, and I don't want to get killed with change orders 2 or 3 years from now. So our intent is to get it right the first time when we go out for bid.
The change in the contract timeline also means a year delay in when the Blue Lake project might come online. Originally, the switchover to the new water intake pipe at Blue Lake was planned for the fall of 2013. It's now slated to happen in 2014. Some weather forecast today for Sitka and PA calls for mostly cloudy, isolated rain and snow showers, mainly in the morning. Highs around 36, east winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. This is Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka.